Which
14
ones?
On 14 C.
Okay, 14 C?
Yeah.
Okay, good to know, 14 C. Are there any other items?
14 C, which number?
That was...
All of 14 C?
Ms. Dugdale and Ms. Kowak, on just on item, all special ed and general items that are to be approved tonight? The 14C is all of the special ed contracts that are up for approval tonight. Oh, you want 18? Okay. We'll change that to 18. Okay. Okay, so scratch that. No consent.
No consent.
No 14.
So no pulling on consent.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Second. All right, all in favor of approving tonight's agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next, the approval of the minutes for the September 14th meeting, which was a board workshop, the regular meeting on September 27th, and the special meeting October 4th, which was the Prop 8A project store. I have a motion for the approval on... Actually, we're going to do...
Separate.
I just saw the heading. So the first one would be for the minutes of September 14th workshop regular meeting, September 27th special meeting, as shown in the supplements. I need a motion for that one.
I'll move approval.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Now we need one for the October 4th Prop A project store.
Move approval.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, now we have our student update.
Okay. So from La Costa Canyon, we've basically done like all our homecoming stuff now. So we had our carnival, which is like jumpies and fair style games. And then the only thing for that is we just need to work on like advertising, getting out to the local community a little more. And then for our halftime show during the football game, we brought the court out on golf carts, which are like decorated floats. So we're kind of bringing back like that older tradition, which we want to continue to do in future years. And then for the dance, we had over 1,230 students attend out of like 1,900 students at our school, so that was a good number. And then kind of for the first time, we had something for all students. So if you didn't want to dance, basically like you could still go to the dance and do something else. So we had like a virtual surfing ride, which is kind of virtual reality, and then also a fire dancer performance. And then on the 21st, we had like a very compact day. We had our blood drive, club rush, and drill while it was raining. It was very chaotic. But the club rush was definitely like a good thing because it gave an opportunity for all students to basically like go around and view all the different clubs and basically get like more involved at school if they wanted to be. And then at break on Monday, we had an opportunity for students to sign like a poster to pledge to drive safely and like distraction free and not under the influence of anything. And then we've been having senior presentations and senior financial aid nights where guest speakers are brought in to speak to like parents and students on financial options and other like helpful college information that they need, kind of. And then yesterday, juniors took the PSAT, and we're just like super lucky and fortunate to be able to have like that opportunity to do it at school versus like other school districts sometimes that they go on Saturday and pay for it. And then we had five seniors who took it last year, and they're National Merit Scholars. And then while like the juniors took the PSAT, since it was during the day, all the other grades basically like rotated through different things. So for the freshman and sophomore, they rotated through like motivational speakers, and then it gave a chance for the counselors to basically like teach them all about Naviance and like explore college options early on. And then the seniors did like the senior sunrise, took their class photo, which was like by a drone, so that was super cool. And then they had just a couple like other college rotations. And then Comedy Sports is tonight, which is kind of like our improv group. Then they like compete against other groups, but tonight it's the students against teachers. And then the theater department in general is really growing, and like they started selling out of performances last year, so they're just hoping to continue that trend. And we have another play coming up, which is called The Love of Three Oranges, which is like a comedy. And then we have like our new school theme, which is Be the Difference, Be the Change, Be a Maverick. And our admin team is really focusing on like student wellness this year. And they've been looking at a bunch of ways to basically like promote that and have like students be more balanced. So they're starting to pilot this thing called Unplugged Nights, which basically like homework loads are like reduced, and then also like just like a break from like the constant distractions of social media to kind of like allow students to just be more like where they are and like, yeah. And then tomorrow we have our pink out game to promote breast cancer awareness, and then we already sold out of our Maverick pink camo t-shirts for the game, and then just in general we're starting to do a lot more merchandise for the school just so like all students, staff, and parents can basically like be able to have something to say like, oh, like I'm a Maverick. And then in ASB we're starting to plan Survivor, which is like an amazing race for the senior class, like it's like a competition throughout the week, and then they go to the grand finale. And then finally our solar project is underway, which is closed off near 150 spots. We're having a little bit of a parking struggle losing that many spots. But they've done a good job like reallocating from like where the visitor parking lot is to student parking, and then also there's like a two-way road, but then they made it one-way with parking on one side. Mm-hmm. So we basically recuperated all those spots that we lost. But it's really cool because like once they're done with the whole project, our school site would be like a net zero due to solar. And then like does Mr. Marcus want to say a special thanks to Prop A and the Board of Trustees? That's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. All right. We have Isaac Gelman from Torrey Pines.
Okay. We have not been as busy. but coming up, we have tomorrow's the homecoming game. Yeah. And the theme is tied up. So Saturday is the dance. The theme for that is Saturday Night Fever.
Oh,
and just go on. And some advertising going on this week. The next game against Mission Hills is Staff Appreciation Night, October 27th. I'm sure I'll be seeing you guys there. Pep rally for the impending win against LCC. Yes, November 5th. We had challenge day last week, 4 days where students were able to connect with other peers, and it was hosted by Tiles and John Collins. It's always a great program. I did it freshman year. It's really great to get connected with other students. And I was also hosting Safe Schools Week next week, focused on anti-bullying and student wellness on campus. We're incorporating this app on campus, WISA, which just another tool to have our students take care of themselves and hold the TP pledge, be proud of our school, be proud of themselves, wellness in general. We're going to have some students, along with Mr. Coco, go to the Rancho Santa Fe Literary Society luncheon coming up, and I don't know how to say this, but one of the authors that's going to be there is Charmaine Craig, and they're going to be reading Miss Burma early. They're going to get copies, and it's a good opportunity for them to get into literature a little bit. Rehearsals for the comedy play on are ongoing. Construction is the Earth Movement Project is on track, and Mr. Coco says it's on track for spring 2019 completion, so that's good, even though I'm not going to be there. The fall concert is coming up for our music program on November 13th at the CCA. I assume we'll be at Torrey Pines construction stuff. Tomorrow, the choir and from the music program is performing our anthem, and the jazz band is also going to be at the game, so it's going to be very exciting, very busy. And lastly, we just have club day next week to show off our clubs, a lot of people, as Scott said, so yeah, that's all I have.
Great, thank you, Isaac. Next, we have Cole Gonzalez from SDA.
Hey, so SDA has been having a pretty full time recently. We recently had the ribbon cutting on the 29th of our new building, and that was cool to have people come out and kind of celebrate opening a new chapter in our school. And that has also been followed with alumni tours, and so we're getting alumni from different years in the 70s and the 60s. They're coming back and they're seeing how their school has changed from high school to academy, and they're checking out all the new buildings. Mm-hmm. And so far, they've been very impressed. So that's good news.
Right. Yeah.
We had a student, Isaac, the previous school board representative, Isaac, put on a charity concert at our school to raise awareness for human trafficking. So that was pretty notable. And he ended up getting around 400 people to show up.
There was an article today about it.
So it was a fun time. And our link crew follow-ups have gone super well, and I think that link crew is way more on track this year, and everybody seems to be enjoying it. And I haven't heard any complaints about it this year at all, so that's some good news. And we also had a club fair recently, and that was fun. A lot of clubs came out, and we had around 60 clubs this year, so it was a pretty impressive number. And we just held 3v3 soccer, and that was fun to get the school out and compete. And we are going to have, and the things coming up, we're going to have the back to school, or we had the back to school dance, and soon we're going to have the homecoming dance, and followed with all the other homecoming activities. We're going to have a forum tomorrow, and we're going to have a flag football tournament where the students compete against the staff at the very end, which will be kind of exciting. And we'll also have a school battle of the bands. We try to get all the school bands out. So yeah. Those are things.
Great. Thank you. Next we have Jack from CCA.
All right, so CCA fall sports are continuing their great seasons. Each of the five CCA women's teams right now are currently ranked in the top seven of their sport in the entire county, and no other school in the county can say that right now, which is really, really neat. CCA Envision Cinema has two of the only 8 student films selected worldwide to be screened at the 2017 San Diego International Film Festival, which is awesome. Our first play of our theater season, Mystifique, a Mascabra, or Macabre Masquerade, is coming up on October 27th. And this will be the first ever viewing of that play, as it was co-created in collaboration with CCA students, which is really cool. A few weeks back, we also held our club day, where we had over 200 clubs show up out of the over 250 clubs that we have on campus, and that was super cool to see. Also, a few weeks ago, we started our first ever Raven Advisory Board, which is where teachers nominated exceptional students from each of different subjects, and they met and discussed how we can make CCA the best place it could possibly be. And they're going to be meeting monthly to try and implement some of their ideas that they came up with at that meeting. Next week is our Spirit Week, Pep Rally, and Homecoming, so it's going to be a really busy week, but we're getting really excited for that. And in a couple weeks, we're also hosting Japanese exchange students from our buddy school in Japan. So that's going to be really cool. And last but not least, according to the 2018 Best Public High Schools NEET rankings that came out a couple weeks ago, Canyon Crest Academy is ranked number 1 in San Diego, number 2 in California, and number 19 of 17,867 public high schools in America, which is really cool.
All right. Okay, thank you. Now we have Sarah Trigg from Sunset.
Okay, hi, you guys. So today we had our Sunset Standout Ceremony, where all the students were recognized, at a school-wide assembly for positive achievement. After that, all the students enjoyed a delicious barbecue that we held around campus, and it was really cool, and everyone had so much fun, and just once again, seeing all those smiling faces was just really enjoyable. And starting on the week of October 16th, we will begin student support groups programs. About half of the students are voluntarily participating and meeting with staff once a week to promote strong connections between students and staff. Our counselor, Mrs. Balderas, is starting a financial aid workshop October 17th to work with families and help them fill out the free application of federal student aid, also known as October 23rd through the October 27th, Sunset will host Wellness Week. It incorporates red ribbon activities, including guest speakers, amazing music, relaxing sessions of yoga, and Sunset's Wellness Week encourages drug-free lifestyles and the general well-being of students, and we're really looking forward to it. For students interested in the field of construction, there will be an exciting field trip to the Erickson Hall of Construction job site located at San Diego Academy. Reps from the company will meet with the students and give them a tour of what it's like in the world of construction, and so they can just check out this job and see if it's something that they'd like to do. And we're having our open house on October 26th from 6 p.m. to 7:30, and all Sunset families are welcome. And then we're going to have a tasty potluck then. Mm-hmm. So that's good. And Halloween's always been a huge deal at Sunset. The staff go way out of the park, seriously. And like, I didn't even go there last year, but I saw some of the yearbook pictures. And they all dressed up as characters from SNL. Oh. And it was amazing. And we can't wait to see what they come up with this year. And as usual, Sunset students are encouraged to dress up and be just creative on their special day. And there will also be a pumpkin carving contest for everyone. I know a couple of my friends are excited about that. And finally, the Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium. or the SBAC test scores from 2017 have been released, and we're proud to share that Sunset's English Language Arts scores increased 13.1%, and math scores have increased 6.56% from 2015's baseline.
Great job as usual from all of our student board members. Now, Mr. Spell is out.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Mrs. Hergesheimer.
Well, there have been several things this month that several of us have done. We did have the back to school night at Carmel Valley Middle School, and actually, by this route, we had the Daniel back to school night, the Warren Middle School back to school night, and Torrey Pines High School back to school night that I was able to attend all of those. I was at our San Diego County Office of Education for Region 17 delegates meeting this past month, where we, I think I had mentioned, we were discussing this. It was a member on the student board member program that's going to be at our annual education conference, and I believe that Ms. Schultz has or will be in touch with you as we get information on registration for that. And you're not required to go, but part of this program was to encourage districts to have board members and to encourage the participation, and I think we're at least, you know, solid in there that we do have an active board, student board, and so if you're able to do that, we'd like to help you do that. And then, let's see, we had our Prop AA project tour that, let's see, three of us made it for the whole morning, and Mrs. Muir joined us partway through, and let's see. Oh, we had the one special board meeting. That's right. That's the only voted on that. Let's see. And if you didn't already get it, I think all of our board members should have gotten invited to this upcoming meeting, which is the next monthly delegate program. That's what's it called? A roadshow. The CSDA coming to our location rather than us having to go to the state conference to spend some time with our, hopefully focusing on some of our local issues. And, the only other thing I think I've shared is we did finally get this, the SB 571, the reason the struggle is over. But we now are in a position to be allowed to choose to have reserves up to 10%, and if we were to become basic aid, that we don't have to worry about that. So, not perfection, but I think it was an improvement for schools in California.
Great. Thank you, Mrs. Hergesheimer. Ms. Muir.
Before I get into this, I want to tell you guys there's an app out called Scully. It's called Scholarships, and you can go online and choose every scholarship you're available for. Because in 1950s, it was so hard to find scholarships that that's what you did. You made an app. And so it's S-C-H-O-L-Y, scholarships. So that's something if you want to pass that on. I've been really busy. Supervisor Kristen Jaspar and I did a walkthrough at Kenyon Crest Academy. I see the parent here tonight, Matt. Hi. Met us there. We were met by the principal, Fred Colleen, the foundation director, Joanne. And we got to see the new building, a dance class, an art class, and the student television. Thought that was great, by the way. Is that Supervisor Gaspar has graciously recommended that the foundation director, Joanne, write a grant from the county to replace the computers for the student television. Principal Brett King said over 3,000 children watch that telecast each week. I thought that was great. Supervisor Kristen Gaspar's grant program has for our district has already granted for the college night, the Del Mar Fairgrounds. I was also, let's see here,
was that we were at Earl Warren. I see Reno today. I just want to make sure we're going to be going out there. We got that thing in the grant I sent you today. Thanks. I also, I guess you know, I'm against the commercialization of marijuana in Antonitas. Is the issue of commercialization in Antonitas is going to vote on October 18th. I've attended every board meeting. I've also been out with other parents, created a website. I was at the Oktoberfest in a booth, answering all, reached out to probably 30,000 parents then. We are now going to be walking door to door this weekend in Antonitas, so if we see you, we're going to ask commercialization of marijuana in Antonitas to save our community and protect our children. I also want to thank the San Diego Alliance. I don't see anyone here tonight. They've been great and amazing coming to every meeting and speaking about marijuana. And so I've also been busy writing essays with kids, and so that is it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Beer. This is Alessandra.
Okay, well, I was at the Carmel Valley Middle School Back to School Night. I also attended the San Diego Alliance Networking Luncheon, which is always a fascinating event. People from all over the area who have any kind of special programs for kids attend and share their information. I did the sheriff's office was there, and I did bring some brochures for all of you guys, because when my daughter was in high school, her car was stolen right off of our driveway. So I thought maybe you would like to have some brochures on that. I was at the Divino Back to School Night, the special board meeting, of course, Earl Warren Middle School Back to School Night, and the Earl Warren Spirit Day, which was a wonderful event. I love Spirit Day. I was also at the San Diego Academy Math and Science Building ribbon cutting and tour, and I wanted to ask the name of the young man who was the singer, who was phenomenal, and I didn't write his name down.
So
that's blank, you know?
So Cole. Do you know the name of the singer in the band that was at Back to School Night?
I think his name is Shalom. Okay. I know that the band is Shalom Supreme.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And like they have different bands coming.
Okay.
Up. I think his name is Shalom.
Yeah. He is awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably the next big star out of San Diego County. I also went on the Prop AA Projects tour, and to CCA's Taste of the Village, which was incredible. It was such an unusual and entertaining and delicious event. All of the restaurants at the Pacific Highlands Ranch Shopping Center, restaurants and food vendors, had booths out front and went around and had a taste of all these new, mostly brand new restaurants. It was fantastic. And then in the center of the whole complex, students, groups sang, played musical instruments. It was a really, really fun afternoon. We enjoyed it very much. Maybe that was all.
That was good.
Thank you. I, too, attended the back-to-school nights at Degano, Earl Warren, Torrey Pines. Always great to get there, see all of the parents excited to hear about the school. We see different performances from students that night, kind of get the culture for each school. And then we get to watch the parents race off to class and get there and stay on time like their students have to during the day. Of course, attended the special board meeting with everyone else, and the ribbon cutting at SCA. What was really wonderful about that is seeing a brand new building on our oldest campus and how it's integrated into the campus, and how the teachers were consulted on about how they wanted those spaces to be designed and fitted. So that was really great to see. And we saw more of that at Prop AA Tour throughout the district, seeing some of the plans. And what's nice about this Prop AA Tour compared to the ones we started with, and Superintendent Dale pointed that out, is we used to kind of look at holes in the ground and trying to envision what would be there. Now we've seen completed projects, we see how the students are learning in them, and see some more exciting projects that will be coming up for the school. So always nice to do that, and do that with our ICOC board members along with parent representatives from the campuses. I also met with Julie Union, who's on the Solana Beach School District, and Kristen Gibson with the Del Mar School District. We meet once a year just trying to touch base and see what's happening in each other's districts and share, you know, questions or concerns. And I know for both of them, they're with Solana Beach, of course, they've just started their school bond projects, and I know that Del Mar is considering that. So we talked about that and kind of the growth in Pacific Highlands Ranch, which affects all of our districts. So that's what I did.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would have liked to have been at the San Diego Alliance meeting. However, I was with the superintendents from Solana Beach and Del Mar. We were meeting with Barbara Bree, who's the city council member for the southern part of our district, and we haven't reached out to her yet. And so it was nice to go down and meet her in her district office, which is in a lovely place in La Jolla, right next to my favorite taco place. But we did talk. It was nice to have an informal meeting rather than the more formal meetings that we have both Solana Beach and Encinitas. Where you could just kind of let our hair down and talk. And, you know, we did talk about a lot of the issues in Carmel Valley and Sorrento Valley, so it's including, you know, traffic and storefronts and some other issues along that nature. Yesterday, we had our first meeting of the Special Ed Task Force, and I know Mr. Miller is going to talk about that a little later in the day and or in the evening, and I will say that it was a really good kickoff to that process. A lot of the time was spent on just establishing the norms and how they're going to communicate with each other and what the outcomes will be. We'll be considering a facilitator later this evening, but Mr. Miller ran the first meeting and did an excellent job, and just want to compliment the job that he did and the positive energy that we saw in the room with everybody who was there, and so that was very nice to see. Along the lines of special ed, I also want to mention that I met with three parents this week, two of whom are here, Stephanie Kovac and Heather Dugdale. Heather's the current PTSA president at Earl Warren. Stephanie was the PTSA president at Carmel Valley last year and is now the community outreach director. Is that what you're called at Carmel Valley? community outreach person.
She doesn't want a title.
Yeah. She's a person who has a ninth grader at CCA, and also with another ninth grade parent who is the former DeGaino PTSA parent. And specifically, we're talking about special ed and how we can engage the special ed parents to be more involved in the parent organizations and use that energy to supplement the experience of students with disabilities along the same lines of what we do across campus, and using those existing club relationships and staff relationships to help improve the experience and make sure that students with disabilities are involved with clubs, extracurricular activities, and that the foundations and PTSAs can support those activities. And especially recognizing that that at some of our schools we have students who are attending programs outside of their neighborhood. So how do we make sure that they're welcome and invited onto those campuses when they might not live in that area? And so it was a really good conversation that we had. I know that they have been having conversations. That was Monday morning, and since then there have been conversations with many of the parent groups to outreach and say, okay, how do we get a liaison or just an interested person who represents the special ed community at that campus to start an outreach effort through our parent groups. That was a really nice.
So do we have someone on the foundation, like a
a position in the foundation for special ed? I don't know.
Well, each one of the foundations in PTSAs operates a little differently, and so what they're doing now is talking with the governing boards of each of those parent groups and saying, okay, how can we get somebody, whether it's an official board member or just a liaison, or as Stephanie doesn't want an official title, you can still have somebody with an unofficial title who says, hey, I would like to take on this challenge and to help expand the reach of our parent groups to support students with disabilities.
I think if they were on the board, they would know what was going on, and then they could report back.
Yeah.
Seems like that.
So, they're going to work within the structures that they have. And
good,
yeah. Definitely. So, that's that.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
And that's all?
That is it
good.
For me.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Next up, we have public comment. Oh, no, Reno Medina. Sorry, Reno. You go first. And happy to have Reno Medina. He's the principal of Earl Warren Middle School.
Wow, I'm about to be up here, but here I am.
You are.
Well, good evening, members of the board, Superintendent Dill, Executive Assistant Schultz, Associate Superintendent, Student Representatives, you can see the faces over there, and members of the audience, parents, and people of the community. This is truly a special place. San Diego is truly a family-based district, and it just, from my heart, that's where I feel like I'm at, and I can go on and on about that, but that's just kind of something that keeps me coming back and working harder and harder each day for our kids. So, again, I'm Rena Medina. I'm the proud new principal of Earl Warren Middle School. The first 7 weeks of the school year, our students, the staff, and community have enjoyed opening a brand new campus. I've been fortunate to just kind of receive the benefits of the vision of our district leadership, our school board, our parent community, and just the hard work from our Prop AA team. It truly is a beautiful campus, and if you haven't seen it, I invite you to come and see it. November 1st and November 15th, we're opening up tours to the public, which we will advertise so that people can enjoy the hard work that went into the school. As a school community, we have focused on preserving the culture of a small, family-like campus while entering a much larger, state-of-the-art facility. In addition to culture, our focus on building and maintaining student connectedness and engaging all staff members in refining and reflecting on their practices to improve student outcomes. Speaking of positive student outcomes, I'm here to celebrate the amazing work of our teachers. They've been working really, really hard over the last year, and at the start of the school year to focus on just closing the achievement gap for our students. So it's kind of a focus of my report today, this evening, I should say. As our district, we've grown the state testing in a positive manner. And as a school, we've also had the same outcomes. Some things I really want to celebrate with you is that we had a 7% increase in students on the DNF list when compared to the 2015 marks. So that's amazing. 5% increase in English learner students and students with disabilities meeting or exceeding standards for math. I'm a former special ed teacher, program specialist for this district, so this really kind of tugs at my heartstrings. 6% increase in students with disabilities meeting or exceeding standards for English language arts, and an 8% increase in students who are economically disadvantaged students meeting or exceeding standards for English language arts and math. So these are all primarily our subgroups that we'll be looking at. As a school as a whole, we've made gains, such as the district has, but when we talk about our kids who really needed a lot of support and making grow with these kids, it all goes back to the work our teachers are doing. These outcomes are the result of teachers working together to analyze student work, reflect and refine their teaching strategies, and circling back with one another about best practices. In addition to the professional learning community, early targeted intervention for students has demonstrated the need for support. It's key. Identifying the kids early on and then having a team to kind of monitor what they're doing and implement strategies to support them has been the work that has happened at Earl Warren. It's all about refining and reflecting. Is it working? If it's not working, what are we going to do about it? So some things we've been doing at Earl Warren is academic practice time. It's a 30-minute block scheduled into student schedules, similar to other school sites. However, we've added something a little bit new to the APT, is we've also made it unplugged. We've had our students pretty much put their cell phones away and put them in their backpacks, and during that 30-minute time, it's all about academics and focus. We've seen tremendous results, and of course, we've seen a decrease in cell phone violations. So, so, you know, coupled with the APT and the new stuff we're adding to that, something I really, really am proud of is our math lab approach. We are fortunate to have teachers who are willing to share the work at this at Earl Warren. And when I say share the work, we have dedicated 3 math teachers during this AP time to actually pull kids out in small groups and address their deficits. So this has shown tremendous gains over the last year that's been implemented. It's already showing gains this year. So, you know, it's all about collaboration and taking care of one another, and Earl Warren is truly a family. Based community. Through the support of our PTSA and some funding, non-category funding such as Title I and LCAP, we also offer after-school programs, homework hour, lunch programs, college readiness, and study skills courses. So all those things combined with the intervention teams and the ongoing work of monitoring the students and the support from our parents to kind of enhance that and provide those opportunities. It has really supported all of our students. In addition to our focus on closing the achievement gap, Earl Warren continues to nurture creating a school environment where all students feel safe and connected to school. I mean, be real, this is where, this is, if you, unless you have that, you can't learn. And especially from our some of our Title I kids and our kids who are economically disadvantaged, our students in special education, our EL learners, you know, eating breakfast is a challenge sometimes. So something we're doing is we're reflecting on our results from our Healthy Kids survey from last year, which everything is doing great, and then we have this hiccup where these students aren't feeling connected, and some of them aren't feeling safe. When I say that's 13%, 14% of those subgroups, 1% of students. So the work we're going to do this year, moving forward, is going to be to address that while still incorporating all students, because we can't forget about the kids who are still doing good well. We've got to keep them moving in the right direction. So something we're doing this year is we're doing a lot of reach out. We've already met with Casa Amistad, La Colonia, and we're going to partner with our ELAC community to build these connections for EL and economic disadvantaged learners. An approach we're doing this year is instead of saying, hey, come see us, we're going to go to them. And I met with the director at CASA, and she made this really nice point that these kids spend all day struggling in their classes, and at the end of the day, they don't want to be at school anymore. Mm-hmm. So how can we fix that? So essentially, they don't want to be there because when they go to a tutoring class, there's 20 kids and 1 or 2 teachers. It's not enough attention. So we're going to work on that, and we're going to kind of bridge the gap a little more there. More celebration. Welcome week, Spirit Day. Thank you for coming, Joy.
My pleasure.
And it's just it's a great day. Seahawks salute luncheons. You know, the opening of the new school. All these things are just kind of building that culture, maintaining that culture for our students at Earl Warren. We're looking forward to kicking off Red Ribbon Week October 23rd. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep focusing on the digital citizenship, wellness, family and club nights, and student dances coupled with a parent forum. So something we're doing next week, and it's been going on, is we have a dance for our kids, and our parents in the community are invited to come to hear drug trends and social media awareness. So that's being offered in the evening at Earl Warren, and then in the morning at the Trails for Parents Who Can't Make the Evening Session. So, in closing, you know, I just truly appreciate and honor to stand before you as the new principal of Earl Warren. It is an honor just to work with an amazing leadership team, an amazing supportive school board, a fabulous parent community, and just this whole community in general. You know, I think more about these stars every morning. I look at my wife and I think I'm so lucky. And my two boys who just started kindergarten, they're 6 years old, and I'm just like, I can't wait for you to But other than that, I appreciate the time again to allow me just to kind of talk about Earl Warren. It's a beautiful place. The kids are amazing. The teachers are amazing. Thank you. And any questions?
So how's Joe doing over there with Raffi?
Joe Lesky. Great. It's awesome. He's an amazing staff member. He always says, "Man, you know, this place is great. It's a small family community. And they always give us donuts." Honestly, he's been a great addition, a great resource for our staff, for our kids, for our parents, and it's another positive thing to Earl Warren, and I truly appreciate him.
Yeah, he's so positive. Him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great.
Comments for questions for Mr. Medina? Great. I want to thank you, Mr. Medina, for talking about the things that you were doing at your school to help close the achievement gap. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're doing this year is having a particular focus of each one of our principals. And I think that what you saw there, the work that Mr. Medina and his staff are doing, mm-hmm. is exactly what you're seeing in the trends that we've seen. And you heard some increases at one of our schools today. Mm-hmm. But we're continuing to make steady progress with all students, mm-hmm. but with a particular focus on those students who may have fallen behind. And so thanks for all of those efforts, and it looks like it's paying off, and it also mm-hmm. looks like you're continuing to review and refine and making adjustments to serve the best interests of those kids.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So thank you, Mr. Medina.
Thank you very much. Okay, next up we have our public comments, and the first speaker is John Sevison.
Good evening, district members, our board members, and student representatives. I'm John Sevison. I am the board president for the Encinitas Express Soccer Club. And I'm here tonight to kind of touch base and update you guys on the status of where things stand with our use of the San Diego Sports Complex, I think is what you call it. We call it the Calle Barcelona Field. Mm-hmm. We have been working with Dan Love and with Laura Hernandez, and they have been wonderful. We've been utilizing the fields to this point. I think we have paid or are in process of paying the rental for the rest of the year, and I think it's a little over $13,000 in the use and the rental of the field space. So we're greatly appreciative of the use of it. Two of our board members met with Ms. Douglas and appreciate all the support that she gave them. We are still a little concerned about the situation with Carlsbad. I know you're continuing to work with them to possibly take over the maintenance of the fields and administer the fields. We know that the director of operations for the Carlsbad Soccer Club has been walking the fields with a member of the city, and gives us a little bit of concern and pause. So we are cautiously optimistic based on the conversations that we've had with you guys that our use of that field won't get yanked out from under us. It is really important to us. We have limited field space, and we are, again, greatly appreciative of the use of it. So if there is an issue, we're always open to talking about it, but just wanted to kind of reiterate our appreciation and expectation that we will be able to continue to utilize that field and rent it from the district. So again, thank you for allowing me to appear, and I appreciate it. We'll look forward to working with you guys on this ongoing.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you, Mr. Thank
you.
Next, we have Elaine
Puma. Hi, this is about my fourth or fifth time up here requesting the same thing. So I'm requesting again that the district have a policy and procedure for bullying. As you know, One out of five students are bullied. And I'm sure here now everyone has known someone who's been bullied, has been bullied, you know, child bullied, or a friend who's had a child bullied. So I'm just requesting again that you have a policy and procedure. I am aware that there are some things that you have put out on the website and what you have done at schools, which is wonderful. However, the California law specifically says that the school district has to have a policy and procedure with designated timelines and a process for parents and students to follow. And I'm just requesting that you follow the law. I think this way, all students will have equal opportunity in education and all the activities, including sports. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Heather Dugdale.
Stephanie's just happy I'm going first.
Change everything I said.
So that's okay. Right. And I wanted to highlight something that Reno had mentioned, and it was these parent forums, because you brought up marijuana. So Joe Alesky and John Moffitt are going to be doing those presentations. We've already had the one at Oak Crest, which was very well received by the parents, and are very excited that we can offer it also at all of the middle schools, mm-hmm. with the exception of CVMS, but we're incorporating them too. So I just wanted to kind of add that. And I'll do my formal presentation for a very special gift from Earl Warren PTSA, but I wanted to say some things. I think over the last 6 weeks, I have had what can only be described as a crash course, mm-hmm. in district operations and policies and procedures, mm-hmm. and clearly we don't even know how to fill out the speaker slips appropriately. So I want to say that, you know, that it has been an honor and privilege to be more involved and to be more engaged with district staff, but also with my site staff and with parents like Stephanie that I otherwise would not have had any kind of interaction with. I mean, we were PTSA presidents together, but I think, as Reno said, just on your school sites, collaboration is what gets things done, mm-hmm. and it's what makes things happen. And I think that over the last year or so, there hasn't been quite as much collaboration and happiness, as I'd like to see, for lack of a better word. I'm going totally off script here. I had something totally different. Off script. Okay. So in that process, we lost an extraordinary resource. That forum that came about between those five middle schools was because of Phyllis Kwan and her leadership and her mentorship and her support for people, parents, volunteers like me. All five of our PTSAs are run by volunteers. They are not run by paid staff. And losing that connection to the district has been a huge hole. And it still exists. And so I'm hoping that there is also some consideration and thought to how to fill that hole and that gap for those of us who are volunteers trying to do important work on our campuses, and including the partnership with the special education departments. That came about because neither Stephanie nor I have a special education child, but we have had the privilege of working with Amy Flicker throughout this whole process and have seen a huge hole on our campuses. And so I've already met with the department head of special ed at Earl Warren, and we're going to create that special person on our board as a board position, mm-hmm. and a permanent position for our PTSA. So we're making strides, but collaboration is important, and there's a huge hole in the communication piece for us. So I encourage you to please find a person who can do that, because it's a huge gap for us. So for now, I'll be back.
Okay. Good timing. Thank you.
Did we also have one for Stephanie? Did we miss it?
Yeah.
Yes.
No,
go right ahead.
Okay. It was on the 14C one.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, that was about my glasses.
That's quite a record.
Oh, no, wait. So you
I think she said
she was.
Okay, so you're 18, but.
Do you want me to?
No.
Well,
wait, you know what you said? You know what? You had 10 and 18.
I'm sure I'm going to mess this up.
So you have public comment and 18.
Oh, sorry.
Whatever you like.
Right now.
You can go now or you can go later.
I will just go now.
Okay.
I'm up here. I have 3 teenagers in high school this year. I have a freshman, sophomore at CCA, and I have a senior at Santa Fe Christian. And I just want to say I am so proud as a parent of 3 teenagers. The representation that we have here on the board, I just wanted to applaud them again. It's great to have the representation of the students. I just think this is, again, why we're all doing this. Mm-hmm. We have to be reminded it's about you guys, and it's really, you know, what you need and how we can support you. So I was 5 years at CVMS, last 2 years as the president, and it was great to work alongside with Kara Dolnick and with Robbie Shockney, and I was honored to be that volunteer to help make sure we have the connectedness on campus. And there's always room for improvement. So as building the relationships and the collaboration with the other middle schools, and now getting a taste of, you know, a taste. Thank you for commenting on that, by the way. Being involved in CCA's foundation as the community engagement. I'm just, you know, figuring out where the improvements need to be made and always coming back to the kids and our families, and that it's about every student. Whether it's a special education student, you know, whatever it is, just constantly looking at our board and how we can improve. And I just want to say that we have had at CVMS, we've had adaptive PE, which has been a budget item for us. And we have been, you know, I've just watched the tournaments that have come through our campus. We host our special education students from the middle schools, and they come and they have a basketball tournament, and it's just been so rewarding. We provide the lunch and the medals and whatever they need, and through our mini grants we've been able to provide meeting with our special education teachers and try to fill their needs. So it's improving that. We want to look at different parent education workshops for our special education parents as well, and just make sure that everything's addressed. So the collaboration piece, getting together, yes, we miss Phyllis because she definitely was the one who brought us all together originally, and it was just really nice to have friends to lean on. So I have 48 seconds left, but I just want to say very grateful to be in this community, and I appreciate all of our representatives and your time, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Nope, that's it.
All right, so consent agenda. We have no speaker slips. No one's pulled anything, so we will move to approve. I actually have to flip back. So we need a motion to approve our consent agenda items 11 through 15.
So moved.
Second. Okay, roll call, please.
Scott Geyer.
Yes.
Isaac Gilman.
Yes.
Cole Gonzalez.
Yes.
Jack Harius.
Yes.
Sarah Trey.
Yes.
Mr. Salazar.
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer.
Yes.
Ms. Muir.
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Ms. Herman.
Yes. And next up, we have the adoption of the resolution in support of Red Ribbon Week, declaring October 2017 as Drug Awareness Month. And I will kick that over to Mr. Miller.
Okay, here we go with my favorite alliteration. I'm going to get through this one. All right, tonight before you, we have a resolution in support of Red Ribbon Week. Mike, that makes me kind of poking when I splutter here.
I'm actually
and declaring October 2017 as Drug Awareness Month. Red Ribbon Week is a big visible kickoff, but it really sparks a year-long series of activities around student wellness and educating our students on drug and alcohol prevention. A sampling of activities that our schools are engaging in this year include guest speakers, student pledges to be a drug and alcohol free, facilitating student discussions to draw attention to the balance needed to achieve optimum health, activities at breaks and lunch to encourage an active lifestyle, a tech out to encourage a breakaway from devices to promote socialization at school, and finally, spirit activities in support of Red Ribbon Week. I must commend our site for embracing this week and really expanding to support overall student wellness. And as you've heard tonight from our student board members, they truly are engaging in some of those activities. With that, I'd like to ask our student board members to read the resolution and make a motion to adopt the resolution Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd through the 31st, and to declare October 2017 as Drug Awareness Month. Student board members, you may now read the resolution.
Whereas the Board of Trustees of San Diego Union High School District has made a strong commitment to alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention, education, and activities.
Whereas the Board of Trustees of the San Diego Union High School District recognizes the overwhelming financial burden to society of alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs in medical costs and services, crippling injury, loss of life, family disruption, crime, and unfulfilled potential.
Whereas the Board of Trustees of the San Diego Union High School District recognizes the physical and emotional impact to our students, their families, and friends when they are entrapped by poor health or addiction. And
whereas the Board of Trustees of the San Diego Union High School District recognizes that the especially harmful and destructive effects of alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use can bring alienation, academic failure, violence, and hopelessness to the youth of the San Diego region.
Now, therefore, let it be resolved that the Board of Trustees of San Diego Union High School District joins the nation in support of Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd through 31st, 2017, and declares October 2017 as Drug Awareness Month, which will encourage all the students to make visible a statement of their commitment to a healthy, drug-free community in which to raise generation of a healthy,
drug-free. Excellent job. Well, nice. Thank you very much. And with that, I will ask for a motion. Oh,
that's right. You're right.
I'm sorry. Is that okay? A motion from one of possibly our student board members to approve the resolution.
I'll motion.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. And that will be roll call.
Yep. Scott, second.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, Scott Geyer. Isaac Gelmes. Cole Gonzalez.
Yes.
Jack Hargis.
Yes.
Sarah Trey.
Yes.
Mr. Salazar. Ms. Hergesheimer.
Yes.
Ms. Muir.
Absolutely.
Ms. D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Ms. Herman.
Yes. Thank you very much. And I know it's hard to say, but it's a wonderful week. And I won't try to repeat that, but thank you very much. Next, we have the acceptance of the donation from Earl Warren Middle School.
And I will say that Ken Noah was the most articulate man I've ever met, and the one thing he could not say was Red Ribbon Week.
Exactly. And we're going to have Mr. Dill start us out and then have Ms. Dugdale.
Yes, so we've invited Ms. Dugdale to make a presentation to us to present the Earl Warren Seahawk sculpture. This is something that the Earl Warren PTSA approached us with last year when they had some funds available for campus beautification. At the time, the campus was not very beautiful because it was completely torn up and under construction, and they saw that some things that they otherwise might have funded, we were taking care of with the landscaping and others, and so they looked at some other thing that they could do to help beautify the campus. And so I'll let Heather explain what they did, but the end result is something that I think we can only describe as iconic, and is going to be a fixture on that campus for many years. So take it away, Ms. Dugdale.
So thank you for allowing me to be here and do this special presentation. I know we could have just, given it as a gift, but I wanted to highlight it because it actually has some very special things about it that I'm sure that most people don't actually know. And Reno may not even know the whole story. So when Adam and Camacho and I first discussed ideas for a gift on the new campus, I had no idea how special the Seahawk project would be for our campus and for me personally. It is a rare opportunity when you are given the chance to have a lasting impact on a campus that will be enjoyed for generations to come and will hopefully outlive you. That's what the Seahawk is for Earl Warren. In a matter of 8 weeks, we were able to secure an artist, import an existing sculpture all the way from Florida, modify the sculpture, raise the funds, and install it on the campus in time for the first promotion ceremony. This is the Seahawk when it was housed in Florida, and it was called Revelation. It took a 2,000-mile journey. It took a 2,000-mile journey to come to Solana Beach. World-renowned artist Amos Robinson, whose bicycle sculptures can be seen all over Solana Beach, San Diego, and the world, was the artist that we selected. That was the best picture I could get of him. Mr. Robinson modified the Revelation sculpture. He's actually working on the very, very bottom of the sculpture right there, with the involvement of the students to be the Seahawk. The students visited his studio, saw all of his works of art, learned how he does what he does, and even got to shine the sculpture themselves. The coolest part, they signed the inside of the sculpture, so at the very bottom, and I'll show you a picture of it in a minute, but in the very bottom, it's a hollowed out part, and the students got to sign the sculpture, as well as the Seahawk logo that sits on the crown. So that's all of their names etched into the crown, mine and Mr. Camacho's as well. And it sits in the crown of the piece. One of the most fun features that Mr. Robinson added was an LED light that glows at night. Mm-hmm. One very special thing we asked Mr. Robinson to do was to make our Seahawk also the home to a time capsule that wouldn't be opened until 2067. So that's at the very, very bottom, and then there's a plaque that goes on the front of that that all of the, and unfortunately I couldn't bring the stuff because it's there, but we have pictures and photos and items that the kids, a fidget spinner, and various items that the families who donated as well as the kids put in there. They put posters of pictures of things, and we even have photos of families that go from way back. So those are all of our donors and the people who worked on it. And the teamwork that was required to make this happen cannot be overstated. We had a visionary principal who wanted to do something outside the box. We had a local artist whose extraordinary generosity did not stop with just one piece of art, but included two additional sculptures, a 54 and a Seahawk logo, that will be installed soon, as well as the commitment to continue meeting with our art students to share his craft and expertise. We had a parent community who gave above and beyond what we hoped to raise. We had district staff members who helped us navigate the required processes to ensure safety and proper installation, and we had a contractor who generously provided the appropriate platform for installation. Coordinating all these moving parts in 8 weeks' time was nothing short of extraordinary. We had alumni contributing, including the family of a third-generation Seahawk, the grandfather who graduated in the first class in 1954, and the current student who will graduate with the first class on the new campus in 2018. Or how about the 1982 championship basketball team, a number of whom have children currently attending, or the couple, Kristen Salgado, she circles right there, who met her husband at Earl Warren and whose kids now attend. The list goes on, and while the Seahawk is a structure on the campus, housed within its time capsule is the history of the school and the people who have made it such a special place over the last 63 years. And the most special thing of all, at the very end of the project, Mr. Robinson presented the EWMS staff with a soaring Seahawk that is now used as a recognition piece for staff who go above and beyond for our campus and our kids. It has been my honor, my privilege, and my joy to have been a small part in making the Seahawk a reality for our district, our families, and our community. So on behalf of the Earl Warren PTSA, I formally give to you the Seahawk.
Thank you. Are there any comments from the board? I would, first of all, thank you so much. What an amazing collaboration, and that we have a visible symbol of that on campus. It's
absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for all the work that you've done to get it there and to have it there for the history of the school. And I'm excited about the tours for the community. I've actually had people ask me about that, so I think that would be really a wonderful way to share not only the campus but the sculpture with the community. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. So now we need a motion to accept this lovely sculpture. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Next we have, do we have public comment on something? Okay, thank you. We have the approval of the Special Education Task Force Facilitator, item number 18.
Why don't we do public comment first?
Sure. Okay. All right. First up, we have Matthew Weil. Thank you.
Good evening. Matthew Weil. I'm the Vice President for Administration of the CCA Foundation. And I'm only here to say thank you to Stephanie for bringing the issue of special education to the forefront for the foundation. We understand that we know that our mission is to enhance the experience of every student every day, and we know every means every. When Mo was there and took a tour with Supervisor Gaspar, we pointed out some of the facilities that the school supports for special education. It's an important component of what we support as a foundation, and we urge anybody who has issues to bring to our attention that bear on special education, come to the board, come to Stephanie, come to me. We're there to make sure every student has the benefit of the good work the foundation does. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Laura Makings, and I am a parent of a special ed student and a friend of a parent who cannot be here tonight, who is on the special ed task force. But she wrote a letter that I thought everyone should hear. She says, I cannot make the board meeting tonight. This is from Sophie Chaffee. I cannot make the board meeting tonight, but wanted to pass on some concerns and suggest some questions to ask tonight about the choice of the facilitator and the objective of the task force. After attending the task force meeting, it became clear that Mr. Miller's vision for the task force is modeled after the statewide task force that the proposed facilitator, Maureen O'Leary, chaired. We studied, reviewed the task force report, One System Reforming Education to Serve All Students. I tossed and turned all night about this path and am pretty conflicted. Here are my thoughts. On one hand, the report has so many great ideas, but as my working group at the meeting made up of me, teachers, and administrators wondered, why haven't these great ideas been implemented? Maureen O'Leary's co-chair is quoted in an information article from EdSource about how the state special education system is in deep trouble this way. Vicki Barber, the co-executive director of the statewide special education task force, said she was encouraged by the fact that the education leaders have endorsed the task force recommendations outlined in the report titled One System Reforming Education to Serve All Students. But she acknowledged that the difficulties of reforming a complex system, especially at the school level, you don't move an entire program just because a report has been written, even with the best ideas. So, I'd like to ask whether we'd end up in the same boat at the end of the task force with some great ideas, but no path to implementation, or real mandate to reform special education the way parents and students have demanded at those board meetings. Since our mandate on the task force is to come up with a strategic plan with four or five objectives for special education as a whole, and the needs of the special education students are so disparate. What a college-bound student at one end of our academics, which is my son, and her son is a FLS class student, their needs are very different. So we will be able to propose the changes at the program level that will really create the changes needed for special education students. Please ask whether the facilitator will experience in a similar broad mandate can help the task force create a plan that will make changes at the program level. On the other hand, the proposed facilitator knows special education well and is a state leader, which leads me to believe she can bring some real insight and ideas for reform here. I also worry that if we wait much longer on selecting a facilitator, the momentum will be lost and we'll have no chance of getting anywhere. So my inclination is that we should go with her, but that you, as the board, leaders approving this hefty expenditure, should make clear that you expect more than pie-in-the-sky reports. You expect the task force, special education administrators, and school staff to reform special education at the program level, at the student level. That reform must include an honest accounting of the state special education in our district now and measurable goals for reform, and that you will hold us all to account for making that reform happen. I'm not sure what teeth you can put into this, but teeth are needed. Thanks, Sophie Chaffee. I think she has very good things to say. She's obviously very, you know, invested person, having a special ed student herself, but she's also taking time out of her very busy, very complicated life to be on this task force, and I hope it's not a task farce.
Thank you. Next, we will turn it over to Mr. Miller to address and introduce the task force facilitator contract.
Thank you. So tonight's staff is recommending Maureen O'Leary Burness to lead the San Diego Union High School Special Education Task Force. After our last board meeting, staff sought feedback from all stakeholder groups, and responses indicated our stakeholders believe this person leading the task force should have K-12 experience, should have knowledge of the Individuals with Disability Education Act, and should have experience leading a task force. With that information, staff sought out individuals who would meet the criteria, and Maureen checked all those boxes. Maureen has over 30 years' experience as a teacher, counselor, administrator, and special education administrator. She is highly respected throughout the state and the nation for her expertise in special education, and in 2013 facilitated the California State Board of Education Special Education Task Force. Please know that Ms. O'Leary Burness facilitated the report and that the report was generated by stakeholder meetings. Also note that the California statewide task force was written at the state level with no school district attached. That report was reliant on California state legislature to implement the recommendations of that report. Yes, while we do have some identified areas of growth in special education, overall we have many successes. Our programs are highly successful, and in fact, we are the envy of a lot of our surrounding districts. We have some of the highest graduation rates for students with disabilities, and our test scores continue to show growth. That's a testament to our hardworking staff of teachers and classified support staff. As I mentioned yesterday to the task force group, we need to identify what are those challenges and leverage our many successes to continue to build on the already high-caliber programs that we currently offer in our school district. Yesterday, I facilitated the task force, in which we engage in team building activities, classroom visits, as well as getting an understanding of what our charge was. In that presentation, I was very clear about our task moving forward, which is to create a strategic plan around special education, that for each identified area that we have a specific goal, a specific strategy, and specific action steps for which to reach those goals. Those action steps are what will ultimately guide our district. I was also very clear that our plan will need to include metrics and measurables so that staff is clear on what will define our success. I was also clear that every idea, strategy, and thought needs to be student-focused and that our document must be student-centered. Special education is very complex, and as the task force dives into data, looks at evidence-based practices, and develops our plan, we need a person with knowledge of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act to lead this process. It is with that staff recommends the board approve Maureen O'Leary Burness to lead the San Diego Special Education Task Force.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Just to jump on some of the things that Mr. Miller said and to just reinforce, mm-hmm. the California State Special Education Task Force, you know, they had one charge, and that was to create that report. And as Mr. Miller said, then they turned it over to the State Board of Education, the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, and the California Legislature, and said, you know, here, this is what you do, or this is what we think you ought to do. But it was really up to those other organizations to implement. In this case, this is our task force. Mm-hmm. And you heard the number of metrics, measurables, outcomes that we will establish through this process, mm-hmm. so that we can hold ourselves accountable. So this isn't, you know, one organization, you know, dictating to another what they ought to do. I did read that EdSource article actually this mm-hmm. morning before I saw Ms. Chafee's mm-hmm. email, and it was clear in that article that once they were done, they were done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ms. O'Leary, she facilitated and she helped to write, but it was not her responsibility to implement. And so mm-hmm. It'll be the same here. She's going to work with the group, gain the consensus, help with the drafting so that, you know, everyone else can participate, mm-hmm. she can facilitate, and then ultimately we accept the report. We'll present it to you, the board, and then it will be our job to implement.
Great. Thank you. Are there mm-hmm. more questions?
Did any of the parents who were involved have any input on who this facilitator would be?
So so a survey was sent out, so they had the opportunity to participate in the survey.
But they, beyond that, nothing else?
Nope.
Okay. And she has been a facilitator on something similar to this?
Correct. So she facilitated the California Statewide Task Force on Special Education.
How are your reasons? Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I would make a motion and speak in favor of us moving forward on this, but I also was able to respond to Ms. Chafee's email, and maybe to the staff as kind of a question and or opinion. In my response to her, I was saying, I don't see this as something where we come up with four or five ideas, mm-hmm. we do them and we say, we're done. I see it more like our LCAP, where we keep going year out and saying, okay, we're seeing how this is working. Do we adapt mm-hmm. it, or do we come up with mm-hmm. something on your other longer mm-hmm. backlist? And mm-hmm. and so I would hope that, I mean, that's my expectation, right. is that this is long-term, not just short-term.
Yeah. And I would say that if she's qualified to lead the California State Special Education Task Force, she's probably more than qualified to lead our small suburban school district task force.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I would say to someone that we know that the special ed education field has a lot of complications to it, and understanding what each group is and even the language involved in that and the needs of those groups, I think she really has that background. And yet I too want to make sure that we come away from this with things that can be implemented, that they're measurable, and mm-hmm. have been reassured that that is the purpose of the task force as well.
The challenge in this is that, remember, the I in IEP stands for individualized, mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. with our approximately 1,400 students, each one of them is on an individualized plan. What we're doing is taking a real macro look at our special education program, and so, you know, there will be some urge to, you know, insert some individualized needs. Ultimately, that's addressed in the IEP process. Mm-hmm. So we really are talking big picture, program-wide types of recommendations and objectives, and we've got another avenue for people who feel that, you know, the individual needs of their students aren't being addressed.
Very good. All right, are there any other comments or questions?
I have one question. How about, when are you going to have a reassessment? Just make sure you're on track and meeting your goals. About when would you do that?
For the process or for the document?
For the task force. We said, I just want to make sure that, you know, we've got this facilitator, but you're going to halfway through say, is this working, not working?
Oh, absolutely. And okay. So we actually have embedded various board reports, too, as we go through this process.
Okay.
So you'll be apprised of the updates as we go through it.
Okay, perfect.
And, you know, and after every meeting, we're going to take a litmus test to make sure that we're on track. And,
okay.
And, where we need to go.
And that was part of what was built in yesterday. It was also what you were calling the parking lot, which is, okay, so things that we're not addressing today but we need to address in the next mm-hmm. meeting, write them down. They'll mm-hmm. they'll take note of that. And so we've already looked at the parking lot for next meeting.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to remind the board that it's public. All the meetings will be publicly noticed, so any of us can mm-hmm. attend at any time, mm-hmm. and I recommend that we start doing
perfect.
That. So. Thank you. I need a motion then.
I think I made one. But
okay.
Oh, sorry. I need a second. No, that's okay.
Sorry.
All right. All in favor of accepting the contract for the facilitator as item number 18, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. The next item is mine.
We have a
public speaker that I will have them speak first. Matthew Wheel again.
So we're in my foundation hat again. I'm in charge of governance there at the CCA Foundation. I just want to urge you to take a couple steps down this road. We are blessed to have students who I'm sure take note of what goes on in these meetings and goes back to all of their campuses and reports on it. I would love to be able to have them go back today and say the board is cognizant of civility and the imperatives of cooperation and efficiency and is taking steps to educate themselves in an ongoing process. Just like students learn something new every day, there's an opportunity for boards, foundations, et cetera, to do that. So we're very much in favor of the motion.
Thank you very much. Yes, I requested this go on the agenda as well as Mrs. D'Alessandro had at last meeting. This workshop would be one for us to conduct with one another in public. Anyone would be welcome to attend. It would be led by a California School Board Association facilitator and would give us the opportunity as a board to discuss our own governance, our own ways of not only communicating with one another but with the public. And since I've been on the board, most of us have taken the advantage of getting our own training at CSBA conventions and taken other opportunities as well. But this would give the board a chance to actually discuss with one another how we would like to work together, and we would come away with our own policies and procedures to do that. So that is why I brought it to the board to recommend. It would be a 6-hour workshop that could be held over 2 days, preferably 1 day. And I'd like us to come to some idea tonight if we're moving forward when that would be, and I have some dates as an option. But I want to have the board discussion on this as well.
Well, I asked for this to appear on the agenda as well. We had a grand jury report not long ago, and the finding, terrific, terrific district. But an additional finding was that our board needs some education in governance. And with that recommendation in mind, I think it's really important for us to fulfill that obligation and have some instruction in governance. And of course, CSBA is the last word in information like that. So I am all in favor of our having a special workshop that we all attend, including actually Mr. Gill, and learn some stuff about governance.
Well, Mr. Ferguson, over the past 2 years, when I was serving as president, I know we tried to schedule with CSBA and have some workshop time, and I also very much feel that that's what we need. Not from my perspective, it's not just about us trying to learn process, but it's the five of us sitting at a table and talking face to face and having some time to do some visioning, do some learning about each other. I think when we can sit at a table together and just talk, that we'll see that we have more in common and that we'll be able to find that commonality. And I think there's just a lot that this has to offer, so I'm in favor of finding dates that work.
Great. Any other comments? I do have some possible dates, and I'd like the board to look at those on their calendar. We are shooting for February for this, and knowing that we haven't set our meeting dates for next year yet, it would be that board meeting is for a regular board meeting would be tentatively on the 8th of February. So some possible dates would be to do them during the day, during the week. and that would be Tuesday, this February 6th, which would be the same week as the board meeting. Otherwise, Thursday the 15th, Wednesday the 21st, or Wednesday the 28th.
Why would you have them during the day?
That's one option. We can have it in the evening, but if they start...
Well, it's open to the public.
It is a six-hour workshop, so... But if that's preferable, we can request to have that start earlier in the evening, if we could get a buy-in from the board on that.
I think that'd be a better idea. People want to attend, because they're not able to attend during the day.
But most we're also talking to multiple evenings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing more.
It is more expensive to do more than one evening.
What about a weekend?
We can do a weekend as well. I know there's a holiday weekend in there, so we would stay away from that.
What is the holiday weekend? I can't
remember. The 16th through...
Saturday
the 17th would be a holiday.
Okay, so if that's the case, I can check with CSBA on a weekend if you want to give me a couple of dates, if that's preferable. And I know this is a lot of structure. I just really want to get buy-in from the board about attending.
24th. How about that on Saturday?
Okay. I'll put that down as a tentative date. I'll check in with the CSBA. But with that,
I would still look at weekdays. So also, I'm not sure that, I mean, in terms of asking public to come, I'm not sure they're going to give you a Saturday any more than they're going to give you a Wednesday.
Right.
Day,
well, this is true, and it really it's important
staff
that the
board. Yeah, it's really about the board
who can make a decision.
Okay, but with that, we would, Mr. Salazar, is it possible for you to come in a day, or do you only need an evening?
I can't predict that far away, that February is too far from it.
Okay. Well, I will come up with two dates, and we'll send them out to the board, and we'll choose one, and hopefully one that everyone can attend. Thank you for the consideration. Do we have this as an action item?
Yes.
Check it. Okay. Then I need a motion.
Please. And do we know what the cost is going to be, or that's going to be?
We do, actually.
$2,000.
It's $2,000 because we have already a contract that we didn't approve earlier, and it's a general contract with CSBA to hold a governance workshop. The price has actually gone up to $2,700 if we would not complete it by the end of the year. So I highly recommend we take that contract of $2,000, but we will bring that back for approval at our next board meeting.
So it's a rolling year.
No, this was a contract we put out in order to do the superintendent evaluation, and because it's a generalized contract with CSBA, that rate was $2,000 when they gave it to us, but they have just increased their prices, so we can have the $2,000 price confirmed at the next meeting. Okay, do I have a motion?
I think we will move that we can have the board workshop.
A second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next item is a public hearing for the California CVRA. I'll say that. and I will open with a public hearing for this. And we do have a public
speaker. You're gonna gavel.
Thank you. I'm going to gavel us in. All right. The public hearing is open. We have a public comment. Matthew?
Oh.
Thank you.
You're going to get tired of hearing from me, but I'm not representing the foundation this time.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm not representing the foundation.
Okay.
We see in the Supreme Court these days, recently a hearing on gerrymandering case in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They're going to define a bar. They're going to define a bar, a minimum bar, for what constitutes appropriate political considerations in districting. Now we have an opportunity to do districting here in our own little community. And I would just like to say, as a citizen and a resident and not a member of the foundation, I'm going to be watching to see what kinds of considerations we take into account. I think we're going to hear a report now.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet one of the considerations will not be where trustees live and how to make sure the trustee of a particular district gets in a district where they get elected. I know that would not be in any of your considerations, but I know that you're going to, please be aware that the citizenry is intensely interested in the good jobs you do and not where you live, and that should be the determining factor on who sits on this board after subsequent elections. So I just wanted to make that comment. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And now I will close the public hearing, and we will move towards...
Yes.
We will have... presentation? Are we moving on to the next one?
No, we will have a presentation.
Perfect.
We've brought back Mr. Jonathan Salt from Fagan Friedman and Bulfrost, and he will give us another presentation. We'll do a quick run-through similar to what we did last month, but we have additional information specific to a preliminary look at our district demographics and what could be some considerations as the demographer creates the tentative maps. And while they're working on pulling up the presentation, I'll just continue to talk.
Okay.
But to answer the board, that we will be producing multiple maps for consideration. And this will all be discussed this evening, but next week we'll have the exact same presentation at our next public hearing. But as we move through the tentative map process, we'll have three more public hearings plus two community meetings where members of the public can come out, review, give comment on map options. And I've been watching the other public agencies around us who have been going through the same process, and I saw Poway release their maps this week online, and we're using the same demographic company as Poway Unified, and so I was playing around with their maps just a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Salt, and he'll take us from here.
Thank you, Superintendent Gill. Sorry, Gill. Well, not quite a long night as last time. Good to see you again. Good to see you, trustees and student board members and cabinet as well. My name is Jonathan Salt. I'm with Fagan Friedman Fulfrost. Last time you saw me in this room, we were talking a little bit about the CDRA, and since then the district has decided to move forward with the process. So we're currently in a 90-day safe harbor where the district cannot be sued under this law while it works on its transition. So a little bit of background here. The purpose of today's PowerPoint is to sort of give the community and the board a little bit more information, and we'll do this at the next pre-map public hearing as well, so the people in the public can comment on things they'd like to see. For example, the speaker said he doesn't really want incumbents to be considered, and that's something that the demographer can look at and not consider or consider. So that's the point of today. First, what is the CDRA? It's a law that passed about 15 years ago, and it says that if you have an at-large election, which means that everyone in the district, no matter where they live, can vote for anyone no matter where they live, if that type of system impairs the ability of members of protected classes from influencing the outcome of the election, then it's illegal. It doesn't require intent. You think about this, most places have at-large elections, and having them with, intent is not required to be in violation. So the district doesn't have to be doing anything wrong in order to be in violation of the California Voting Rights Act. It's actually very easy for a plaintiff to bring a claim against a public entity because intent isn't required. And another key factor why you're seeing this around the county and around the state is that a plaintiff is entitled to attorney's fees and expert fees if they move forward in a lawsuit against a school district, city, etc. But if the district or city wins, they're not entitled to those same rights. And as, again, another factor why you're seeing this, it's very costly, and cities and school districts have paid a lot of money to plaintiffs who have just brought these kinds of cases forward, so the district was proactive in getting ahead of this and making the switch before receiving a demand letter. Most recently, the only case ever to go to trial was the city of Palmdale. Palmdale said, you know what, we have at-large elections and we're going to stick with them. They got sued, they lost, it cost them $4.5 million plus interest, plus paying their own lawyers, and they had to switch anyway. So what is a CDRA violation? Essentially, if racially polarized voting is occurring, meaning if members of protected groups are voting one way while members of other groups are voting a different way, those groups can't influence the outcome of an election, that's polarization. The only way to prevent a lawsuit or claim under CDRA is to switch to bi-trustee area elections. That means the district will be grouped into five equal population areas based on the census, and then only those people who live in that area can vote for board candidates who are also from that same neighborhood, the same areas. The law changed recently as well and created a lot stricter timelines. This is the first of two pre-map public hearings. So before a demographer even draws maps, district receives feedback from the public about things they'd like to see or things they'd like to be considered. Occurs within the first 30 days of when the board passes their first resolution, which we're in that time frame right now. Then, again, we're in the 90-day safe harbor. If the district had received a demand letter, they would owe up to $30,000 for a plaintiff, but they didn't receive one. We got ahead of the game, so saved $30,000 on that front. District passed the resolution last month, and now we are here to receive community comments and public testimony about potential trustee areas. So here's some specifics about the district. According to the 2010 census, there's about 165,000 people. It's about 75% white, 10% Latino, 12% Asian American. And you might think those numbers of minorities are small. I can tell that there's no minimum threshold under the CVRA. We've actually seen an attorney file a demand letter against the district representing the 11% of the Latino population there. No one has taken it to court because it's very costly if you lose. So there's no real minimum threshold of, well, okay, there's only 20% or 10%, so this isn't really an issue. And that's one of the things the district is considering moving forward. CVAP is a word you're going to hear a lot from me over the next 3 months. Citizen voting age population. What that means is when you look at total population, there's 165,000 people. Not everybody is a citizen, and not everyone is old enough to vote. So CVAP is about 120,000 or so of U.S. citizens and eligible to vote, so over 18. When you look at that, it's about 80% white, 8% Latino, 10% Asian or Pacific Islander, and that's a number that's going to come into play later when you're drawing the maps. The goal would be, as one of the considerations, have the Latino, African-American, Asian populations, their CVAP be able to grow in at least one district. When you look at the Latino population and its distribution around the district, you can see there's not really a concentration in one particular area. This is a sort of a density chart, so as you get sort of lighter into the yellows and the reds, that's where there's a higher concentration of Latinos by citizen voting age population. There's really a couple of small pockets here and there. The Asian community, on the other hand, seems to be congregated a little bit more in the southern part of the district. So if there was a map created that grouped that area together, you'd like to see an increase in the Asian CVAP percentage over the 10 or 12% that there currently is. This isn't an actual map, this is just the middle school boundaries, I think. Mm-hmm. But you look at this and you say, well, how might the district be divided? And what are some of the things that you want to use as boundary lines? So, for example, you might want to keep neighborhood X in the same as neighborhood Y, or maybe, Delaware Heights Road makes sense as a boundary because people on one side of that road tend to go to the same school, et cetera. Or maybe, the Laguna in San Leo. The demographer will take that data and take all that input and try to create trustee area maps after the two pre-map public hearings. There's one more on the 19th, and maps will probably be released in early November. Once the maps are created and released, they'll go on the website, they'll be sent out e-blast, et cetera, posted at district school sites, and there'll be a schedule, which I think has already been sent out, of mm-hmm. when all these meetings are going to be. I think mm-hmm. there's two community meetings in November, the 13th and 14th, and then three more board meetings, just like this, for public hearings, I think November 16th, 28th, and December 14th. So community members, come comment on the maps you like and don't like, what you like about them, what tweaks you might want to make, et cetera. That's the purpose. It's very, very public involved. We want to hear your comments.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
So are there minimum number of maps, a best practices number of maps? If we have 12 strong opinions, do we have to provide a map that shows each of those options?
I would say the minimum is, two. You don't want to have one that is released because that seems like the board may have its mind already. I would recommend 3 to 4. So that, there's probably only so many looks you can really give other than getting into the nitty-gritty of a couple of streets. There's probably only three or four really different ways to do this, plus or minus a couple of tweaks that can be made later. So that's my recommendation, is 3 to 4. But, if there's 7 that people are really strongly, these 7 make sense, then we can go with that as well.
I had another question. So with this public hearing and then another one, if we don't have a lot of input, how will the maps be formulated?
Well, the first consideration is the equal population with a variance of plus or minus 10% overall. So 60 or so thousand, let's say 150 because the math would be easier in my head. Let's say there's about 150,000 people in the district. Each district will have about 30,000 people, more or less. That can, again, vary. It's not going to be perfect, but it can vary, you know, by a couple hundred in either direction. That's the first consideration. Then we're going to look at the minority populations and say, are any of them grouped in a way that's a community of interest that makes sense to keep together? You can also consider looking at attendance boundaries. Do you want to keep them in their own areas, or do you want to spread out attendance boundaries amongst multiple trustee areas?
Question. We've got a lot of growth down in the south, up where we're trail the CCA is. Because we talked about you submitted 5,000 homes. What would trigger reassessment in this?
Every 10 years after each census comes out.
Even if we had more growth, it would just 10 years.
After every census.
Okay. Perfect.
And you can also, if you anticipate a certain amount of growth, you can underpopulate those areas on the map, knowing that there actually are more people that are going to be moving in, but only up to a 10% variance overall.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So moving down the line here, maps will be released in November. All the public hearings at that point, community meetings, and the board will ultimately decide on one of the map options. At that point, it gets sent to the County Committee on School District Organization, which is really just the County Board of Ed with a different hat. And if they'll have a public hearing here in the district, and then they'll hopefully approve of whichever map the district selects. And the district is done at that point. Usually, this would go to the vote of the electors, not about the map specifically, but about changing from at-large to by-trustee. But every district we've ever worked with, which has been over 24, has requested a waiver from the state board to cancel the election requirement because, one, there's no guarantee it's going to pass. Elections are expensive. Okay. And if it goes to vote and loses, that's Exhibit A in a lawsuit against the district showing racially polarized voting. The state board of ed is locked in on this issue. It's actually, it's not really on their consent agenda, but there's dozens of them each board meeting.
I looked at their most recent agenda and the backup for a district that was bringing the waiver forward, and in the staff write up it said, that the state board has approved 130 already. So I think it's a foregone conclusion if we submit the waiver, SBE would approve that.
And to get the waiver, Superintendent Dill will have to meet with bargaining units, advisory committees, et cetera, just to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, and I have started that process with the school site councils, and I met with three of them this week, plus our parent curriculum advisory committee. I've got a DLAC meeting next week, and so we're getting all that done.
So once the district hopefully receives the waiver, after the county's approved the map, then we're all ready to go for 2018, and the first series of elections will take place. Now, everyone on the board has been elected to a four-year term, so if you were elected in 2016, you're here till 2020, no matter if you're paired up in the same area or not with somebody else. So there may be some open areas, but at the end of the day, no matter where you live, each board member represents the entire district. It's not just carved up like Congress where you only represent people in your area, or like the gerrymandering. I already mentioned this, but every 10 years, the district's required to look at the maps and see if the population still meets that variance. And like I also said, it doesn't change school attendance boundaries and doesn't really change how the district is governed. So one district never represents the entire district.
Great.
Any other questions?
Thank you. And actually, that last slide, I think, it says a lot. And I think the concerns I've heard from other, parents are that the board would start operating as individual entities representing their own district. And I know that would be a concern for the whole district if that started happening. So as we make these decisions, reassuring the public that that's not how our board governs, and remembering as board members are elected, hopefully the tradition and practice will be that we make decisions for the whole district no matter what area we actually live in. So I just wanted to point that out since I do continue to hear concerns about the process.
And that has come up in the school site council meetings that I've had, which include parents on those on those committees. And we talk about our middle school boundaries and how widespread those are, and that the likelihood that there would be multiple school boundaries at the middle school level, but also at high school, with so many students going all across the district through our high school selection process, no matter where a trustee may live and represent, they're virtually assured to be representing students at all five of our high schools and at least two middle schools, I would see, maybe even three, depending on how the maps turn out. I will say that I sent out an email last Monday to all of our parent contacts, and I've received exactly two responses to the email address that we've set up, and so one supportive, one not, and so I think right now the interest is not huge. The energy, I mean, people are curious, mm-hmm. but we're not getting a lot of input. I think once the maps go out, we're probably going to see more people who will come out and have an opinion one way or the other on the map options. And I did send a notice to the county superintendent, put the county board on notice that we were going through this process, and they've contacted Ms. Douglas to start working with us.
I just have a comment. When you talk about that we'd be possibly representing our area voters, I don't think that's really true, because each of us have kids at different schools, but we're still going to all the schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be very easy to say, oh, my son's a Lacoste Canyon, but I've been down at LCC, working hard down there, I'm going to be down there and at CCA.
Right.
So I've never just stayed at my own school. So I don't think that would really happen, because I don't think
we hope not.
Happening now.
Yeah.
You know.
In the conversation with like the county, the different county board and state court, does that get it onto their agenda so we're queued up?
I gave the county superintendent our timeline, and so I know that Ms. Douglas had a conversation with the staff person down there just so that they would be aware of when we expect to finish the process and what they would expect to see from us in order to assist them in making their decision.
Are they being inundated with districts? I know what in San Marcos and Carlsbad just recently.
There's a number of them. You've got Poway Unified. Carlsbad Unified is completed. I think they're now in the midst of the waiver and an approval process. San Marcos, I don't know. You could go through your whole client list.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess that the waiver can be submitted prior to finishing the process, because the state usually has 12 weeks or so before they actually can get it on their agenda, and they only meet so many times.
Right.
So that can happen before this process plays out, if possible.
I don't think we'll get through all of those meetings 12 weeks prior to their next, because they're meeting mid-January, so we'll probably be on their March docket.
Which would still be timely for the November election.
Yeah.
And also, as soon as the process is done, the district picks a map option at the end of the day. We prepare a petition that goes directly to the County Committee on School District Organization that outlines all the meetings that occurred, all the outreach that happened, and attaching all the documentation and the outreach so that they get a big packet of everything you guys have done, so that they know that this isn't just something that was done behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it seems pretty smooth then at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. Great. Are there any more questions?
Okay, and there's no action that we're taking on this.
Correct.
This is just a public hearing. So thank you very much. We'll see you again soon.
See you a week from tonight.
Thank you. All right. Next item is our public hearing and adoption of the San Dieguito Union High School District's initial proposal to the San Dieguito Faculty Association. This is also a public hearing. You have no comments? Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. We might. No, so we did.
Okay.
No.
All right. I will open the public hearing. There are no public comments. I will close the public hearing. Thank you. Now.
We go to Mrs. Frazee.
Move on to Mrs. Frazee. Thank you.
Okay. Is it on? So the next item is the adoption of the San Dieguito Union High School District's initial proposal to the San Dieguito Faculty Association. This is the third year of a three-year contract with SDFA, and you've had the proposal has been in the board packet. What the district is proposing to the faculty association. So this is something that as a board you would then go ahead and approve.
Thank
adopt
you.
Our proposal.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions for Mrs. Frazee? All right, I need a motion.
Move for adoption.
I'll second the motion.
All right, all those in favor of approving the proposal, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Next, we have a public hearing for the San Dieguito Faculty Association's proposal. And I will open the public hearing. And I have a public comment. Wendy Gum.
Hello, I'm once again, I'm the parent. So I've been reading the San DeVito teacher, I'm just going to call it teacher's contract because it's confusing. So I was a little confused, like, how this process worked. So I just had a bunch of questions that I just wanted to put forth. So the first thing that I had was, is this for this school year? So we're renegotiating terms and conditions that are currently in the three-year contract because the new contract comes up due June 30th, 2018. So we'll start negotiations in January for the next 3 year. That's what I'm trying to understand. So that was my first question. So the next question is, in the original contract, there's something called a district-wide budget committee of the SDFA that they sit on, and can community members attend that? I haven't seen anywhere that budget committee happens, and so I was just curious. So the next question that I had was, if we're looking at negotiating new terms and conditions for this year's contract that could be thought about for the next 3 years, it would be really great if we could add full-time positions at both Torrey Pines and La Costa Canyon for athletic directors. So if both La Costa Canyon and Torrey Pines could have full-time athletic directors that aren't teachers, I mean, that don't have to teach classes and everything else, they can just focus 100% on athletics, because I think there's a lot of things getting missed, and I think our athletic directors are overburdened at both Torrey Pines and LCC from what I'm hearing from a number of people at both of those campuses, and we as parents who think athletics are extremely important in our high schools would value having a full-time athletic director at least those two high schools to start to see if it actually works out. And then my next question is, can the district present some girth to what they mean by interest-based collaboration between the teachers union and the district? It's really confusing to parents to understand that because the contracts are pretty vague right now. And it would be nice if we could also maybe add some teachers so we could reduce class sizes. So those are my questions. If this is just for this year's contract, it would be nice to know. But if we're going to start opening negotiations for the next 3 years' contract, maybe you could clarify that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay, and I'll close the public hearing. Mr. Dill.
Mrs. Prezee can answer many of those questions.
When you have an agreement with an association, which is what we have with our SDFA, those agreements typically go for 3 years. And so we have a 3-year agreement. But within that agreement, you may have subsequent years and within that contract, we say, okay, we're going to reopen for certain things. So this is the third year of a 3-year agreement. And so with our association, the agreement that we would sit down and we would discuss compensation and health and welfare benefits. And so that's all that will be discussed at the table this year. Next year, so June 30th of 2018 is when this current agreement expires. And we'll be working with SDFA to move forward to do what we call a successor agreement, looking at the following 3 years, starting for in that following contract. We would hope agreement would be in place on July 1st of 2018. So then that, when we go to do that, that sunshine again will come to the governing board, and the proposals will come to the governing board, and then they will be adopting this. That's question number one. Question number two, I forgot.
Budget committee, and
the
so, yeah.
Sometimes within agreements, there are committees that might have existed at a particular time. The current budget committee, I don't think, has met in a number of years. So it really, at this point, non-existent. And sometimes with associations, you don't end up taking some things out. It just gets overlooked when people are redoing successor contracts. So that's important to know. Then you had a couple of suggestions in there. I remember that. So duly noted. And I think, was there another question?
Interest-based. If you could explain the interest-based bargaining process.
Okay. So with SDFA, we have a really wonderful relationship of sitting down and talking about the interests of the district as a whole and then of each different party. Because I think we've got a really wonderful collaborative relationship with our teachers association. When we sit down, we talk about, let's look at the district together, let's talk about what are some things you're interested in that you might want to see changed, what are some things that we're interested in that we might want to see changed, and when you're doing any sort of interest-based bargaining, you try to find commonalities, And then sometimes you, and you're able to find those commonalities and reach agreement. And sometimes you work down the road where maybe we don't necessarily agree, but when we go, maybe we go, you know what, that, I see your point, let's put something in the agreement about that, or, you know, let's agree to disagree, we're really not going to move forward, and either party might have that. So it's a very collaborative type of conversation. You tend to sit around the table and have very open conversations. There's another type of negotiations called conditional-based bargaining, where people write proposals and they kind of hand them across the table to each other. This district doesn't do that, and it's really wonderful that we don't. It's wonderful that we have that collaborative cooperation with our association.
So how do we get involved if we're not passing it?
So we can't have questions now continuing through that, but please go ahead and send your questions to Ms. Frizzee. I think it's again important to have the information, know how the process works. This particular item tonight is sunshining it, the beginning of the negotiations, so this will now let the public know that the negotiations will begin with the Faculty Association.
And we've had public comment on that, which is exactly what this item is meant to do.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
And this is just an information item because the board does not adopt the Faculty Association's position.
Right, exactly. So we won't be voting on that. So now we will be moving to our information items. And we have Mr. Miller with some new revised and deleted board policies.
So good evening. Administrative Services staff continues the process of editing, revising, and deleting board policies aligning to CSBA recommendations. Tonight is a slew of board policies, and that the revised policies all reflect language and updates to Ed Code or case law. Deletions are a result of CSBA no longer recommending a standalone policy, or that policy is currently covered in another area. Please note on the agenda that in the second paragraph under the Infectious Diseases Board Policy, under Universal Precautions, it has an incomplete sentence, and that sentence should read the superintendent or designee, and that will be updated when we bring this back for a second reading.
There is no superintendent who knows more about bloodborne pathogens than this one. Since I used to do the training for the district, so I might not designate anyone. I might just do it.
There we go. Good to know that skill. That's great.
Teach him to delegate.
Unfortunately, Mr. Brown just left, but that's something that teachers, if they know one thing about me, they know I used to do that training. So.
That's great. All right. Again, that will be coming back to the board at the next meeting. Do we have any further updates from Ms. Douglas?
So just to piggyback, the Prop A tour was fantastic. It was a great opportunity for our parents to get to see the construction project after they've been completed. The other piece is I just wanted to mention, as kind of a follow-up to some of our best practices workshops that we've had, we are offering another one on October 30th for the executive directors of the foundations and the parent liaisons and the PTSA presidents that deal with donations and fundraisings and things of that nature. So we'll have two more sessions coming up on the 30th for that particular group, so we continue to communicate and work on that with everyone. So I just wanted to let everybody know.
That really is. Thank you.
And there's a lot of benefit to the conversations there too. So.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Just real quick, I also attended the San Diego Alliance Networking Luncheon along with our READY coordinators, Joe Oleski, and it's a wonderful opportunity to really connect with those resources and to bring those resources back to the district to further support our students. So just thankful to that organization for putting that on.
Great organization.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Ms. Frizzee.
I was just going to comment. I had the good fortune of leading one of the team building activities at the Special Education Task Force yesterday, and just the camaraderie within the room, the participation by everyone was just really, really fun, and it was great to see the energy as we move forward with this great task force.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Dr. Grove? Nope. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Gelman wants to say.
Oh, gotta Mr. go. Gelman.
Go.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to go. Ready to go. Ready to go.
And we're almost done. That's okay. Of course. Anytime.
You don't need to stay because I've got lots of homework.
Of course. Exactly. And actually, we're almost done. Just a second for our board. Want to ask, are there any future agenda items?
Could we look into, I've been getting a lot of calls or emails about people who would like to see our board meetings online, like we can have on the film.
Okay.
And they say to me, Solana Beach does it, many of the other school districts do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Nothing else? Then the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Now everybody.